Welcome to the Christian Bible Church Podcast, where the weekly preaching ministry of the Christian Bible Church can be heard. For more information about the Christian Bible Church, please visit us on our webpage at christianbiblechurch.us.
Let's take our Bibles and turn to the Gospel of Matthew. Now, our text this morning is Matthew 7. And it is the appeal, the application to this great sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. I think it's probably the most familiar sermon that the Lord gave. And it is the longest sermon recorded for us in the New Testament that our Lord gave. It's a wonderful sermon. It is given toward the end of his first year of the Galilean ministry. When you read the harmonies of the gospel, they'll tell us that this first year of his Galilean ministry was the year of his popularity. And he had just called his 12 disciples. And the first order of business for our Savior is to set forth here the principles and demands upon the Christian life. And it is a magnificent sermon. And, you know, I think sometimes we may be enthralled at its beauty, its sayings, but our Lord has given it for our instruction, for our benefit, and it is a marvelous sermon. It was St. Augustine who coined the phrase Sermon on the Mount in the 4th century, and it has stuck. But what I'd like us to do, we're going to consider this morning the differences and the distinctions of the wise and foolish builder in Matthew 7. It is the application to the sermon. What our Lord had given this sermon, and now what are we to do with it? And he did not just give it to us to praise its beauty. He wants us to live it out, to apply it, and to be obedient to its demands. So I think it would be beneficial for us if we take a bird's eye view of the whole sermon, just fly over it and see its pieces and how they all fit together, and then come then to its application that we are to be a wise builder, and a wise builder is the one who takes these words of Christ and does them, practices them, put them into life, and so we'll do that. So what we're very familiar with in the first verses of Matthew 5, and you know, sometimes if you have a Bible and it has headings, you know, in sections, they're helpful. And you turn to chapter 5, and we'll walk our way through this. We have, first of all, the Beatitudes. They all start with this word, blessed are. Now, our word Beatitude comes directly from the Latin Vulgate. It is a transliteration of blessed are. Beatitude, blessed are, as it is in Latin. Verses 1 through 16 are these Beatitudes. Then in verses 17 through the 48, through the end of chapter 5, our Lord contrasts the letter of the law and the spirit of the law. And we're very familiar with where Jesus says, you've heard it said, you shall not kill. Now, the letter of the law is not to take literally someone's life. But the spirit of the law is that we are not to harbor any animosity or any bitterness, a spirit of unforgiveness toward anyone that would grow in us and result in taking someone's life out of anger and bitterness. And then chapter 6, verses 1 through 18 is the expression of religion. It is expressing it in giving alms to the poor, in prayer, and there we have the great model prayer, you know, that begins, "Our Father, which are in heaven," and then in fasting, these expressions of religion. And then in chapter 6, verse 19 to the end, is the believer's relationship to money. Lay up not for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust invade and robbers, but build up treasures in heaven, for where your heart is, there is your treasure also. And it is a great chapter on money, our relationship to money, that not to worry about these things, the cares of life, what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, but we depend upon our Heavenly Father to supply our every need in life. And then chapter 7, verses 1 through 6, is to avoid the hypocrisy of judgment. We are not to judge someone's motive behind what they are doing. That is known only to God. And then in chapter 7, verse 7 to 11, is our persistence in prayer. Keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking, and it will be opened unto you. And then in verse 12, that ends the formal Sermon on the Mount. In verse 13 comes this appeal. Enter by the narrow gate. This is a figure of speech that means that we're to come to Christ as Savior. It is in the imperative active. It is a command given to us. We are to enter by the narrow or the straight gate. Enter into the narrow gate. We are to come to Christ and to find him as Savior. It is a decision of our will. After hearing this sermon, the way to apply it, the way to put it into practice is only one, and that is through the power of the Holy Spirit, which we receive when we take Christ as our Savior. In verses 13 through 29, our Lord gives three warnings in metaphorical language. He speaks about two roads, the narrow road and the broad road. He speaks about good fruit and evil fruit. And then he speaks about the wise builder and the foolish builder. Now we come to our text this morning at verse 24. And here our Lord says, therefore, this is the conclusion. This is the application. Our Lord is telling us here, if we are to take this Sermon on the Mount and apply it to our life, to live by it, to practice it, that we have to be a wise builder. We have to take concern and caution in how we build and what we build upon. So what we're going to do is we're going to, for this Sunday, next Sunday, we're going to look at the builders and the building. This morning, we want to look at the builders, the wise and foolish builder. What are their differences? What do they have in common? What are the distinctions? What separates them? And ultimately, each will end in a different place in eternity. Next week, we want to look at the building. And of course, immediately we know the distinction of the wise and foolish builder is that the wise builder built his house on the rock. The foolish builder built his house on the sand. And so we have to be careful how we build and that we are building upon the rock. And so we see that the wise builder, because he built his house on the rock, and that house is a figure, a metaphor for his life. He built his life on the rock. And because of this, as we'll see next Sunday, he is able to withstand the wind and the flood and the rain, the storms of life. He can stand up to whatever comes his way, whatever befalls him. He is able to endure. He's able to persevere because his house is built upon the rock. Whereas the foolish builder, his house falls with the rain and the flood and the wind. He is not able to withstand the adversities of life and the problems of life, the storms of life, because his house has been built upon the sand. So let's look at these builders, the wise builder and the foolish builder, and we'll look at them and contrast and compare them so that we can see this morning, where do I stand? Am I a wise builder? Am I building my life on the rock? Or am I a foolish builder and I am building my life on the sand that shifts and changes and ultimately will fail us in the end? Therefore, this is our Lord's conclusion. It's his appeal to application. Therefore, So the first thing we want to see this morning is, what is our reaction to the Sermon on the Mount? It calls us to do something. It calls us to apply this sermon to our life. He says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be likened to a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it fell, and great was its fall. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. And Father, we come into the house of God, and it is a very sobering time. We come into the house of God, and we should take it very serious. Because we speak of matters of eternity and of our soul and our eternal end. And Father, our soul is in the balance. Eternity is in the balance. It is a time for serious contemplation and examination. And we only find this when we come into the house of God. Father, we pray you bless us and open our heart, open the scripture. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Therefore, whoever hears these words of mine and does them. This is the reaction that our Savior intends. It is the reaction that our Savior requires. It is that when we hear his words, we do them. We practice them. It becomes our habit and our way of life. Our Lord in this Sermon on the Mount is giving the basic principles for our Christian life. How to live in this world. How to face others. And how to face eternity. And our Lord now is drawing this application, drawing his sermon to an end. And calling for a decision, and that is that we will practice, we will do these words. Now, when we think about the reaction that our Lord desires for this sermon, we have to be very careful about our interpretation about what he means here. Everyone that whoever hears these words of mine and does them. Now, we have to be very clear that our Lord here is not advocating or teaching or suggesting that we get to heaven by our good works, by what we do. He is not telling us here that if we practice these words and we follow them and we obey them, that this is how we get to heaven. Now, we have to be very sure and very clear in our interpretation of this verse. Now, when our Lord began this Sermon on the Mount in chapter 5, verse 3, in the first beatitude he gave is the very door into heaven. It is the very way to heaven, the very road to heaven. Our Lord said in chapter 5, verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, blessed are the poor in spirit. Now, our Lord did not say, blessed are the poor of spirit. Now, when our Lord says, blessed are the poor in spirit, he is not saying that we are to feel poor about ourselves. No, our Lord is saying, blessed are the poor in spirit. That is, that to be poor in spirit is to see our spiritual poverty, our spiritual bankruptcy, that because of our sin, the blackness and foulness of our sin, we are in debt to God, and we cannot pay our debt. We are bankrupt. We are in poverty. That is the first step in coming to Christ, is to see your sin as it is, the blackness of your sin, the foulness of your sin, and that you can do nothing to remedy your condition. You can do nothing by yourself to bring you to God or to heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Why are they blessed? Because the Spirit of God has opened your eyes to the truth that you are a sinner and you are in need, and that your only claim and your only hope is to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you do, the Savior said, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You remember that our Lord said virtually the very same thing to Nicodemus in John 3, verse 3. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. So that when our Lord says that whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, he is not speaking about working your way to heaven by your good works, your deeds, how moral or how religious you are. He is saying now that you have come and you've been poor in spirit and you have come to Christ, you have entered into this narrow gate, that you, by the help and aid of the Spirit of God, then put into practice, put into doing the Sermon on the Mount. That when you read this sermon, in these three chapters, the first thing we ought to realize as Christian people, we on our own, we by ourselves, we unaided by the Holy Spirit cannot practice or do the Sermon on the Mount. It is impossible. It is beyond us to do what our Lord demands in these three chapters. But it requires a complete dependency upon the Holy Spirit of God to do or to practice the Sermon on the Mount. Now, as we look at these wise and foolish builders, we ask the question then, who is being glorified between the wise builder and the foolish builder? Now, they are both building a house. But there's a difference in how they're building and why they're building. You see, the foolish builder, they're building their house or their life, but they have no foundation. Their life, their house, is not built on the Lord Jesus Christ. These are the false professors. These are the ones that are only concerned about appearance, how things look to people. They want people to think good of them, to think highly of them. They are out for the praise of man. They want to impress people with their life of how moral they are, how religious they are, how good they are. You see, their concern for glory is not the glory of God, but for the glory of themselves. This is the foolish builder. He's building a house just like the wise man, the wise builder. But see, his only interest is in the house itself. How does it appear? How does it look? Am I impressing anyone? Now you take the wise builder. He too is building a house. He sees the importance of building a house. But you see, this wise builder comes from a totally different perspective. He realizes that he has been saved only by the grace of God. He sees by the wisdom of God the need and the importance of a foundation. And he is building his house. He is moral. He is religious. He is a worshiper of God. But he doesn't do it for his own praise because this is his own doing. No, he realizes that his life, his desire for godliness, his desire for holiness, his desire to obey God and honor God in his life does not come from himself, but it comes from the work of the Holy Spirit of God in him. And here's an individual, this wise builder. He is building his house not for the praise of men, not to be honored by men. He is building his house solely for the glory of God. Now, this isn't how we give our testimony when someone says, why do you go to church? Why do you live the way you do? And you give such an answer that brings glory to God, that God is doing this in your life. It is all a work of God, that you have nothing to do with it. That do you ever confess and admit that if you have not become a Christian, that your life would be miserable and in sin, that if it wasn't for God to stop you in your tracks and to bring you to Christ, and you have entered into this narrow gate, that you'd be a worse and miserable sinner? You see, the wise builder brings glory to God. The foolish builder is only concerned with his reputation, his honor, his glory. And that's as far as it goes. Then there's this determined practice of the word in this sermon. Notice Jesus says, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them. Who does them? It's in the present active. It is to practice this habitually. It is to practice it continually. See, this is our determination that no matter what we face in life, no matter the problems, the obstacles, the adversities that come into my life, I'm not going to allow these problems, these difficulties, these adversities to hinder me or to stop me or to prevent me from doing the Word of God. We practice the Word of God. This is what James said in James 1 verse 22. And we looked at this at the men's breakfast yesterday. But be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. We are to be doers of the Word. See, the difference between the wise builder and the foolish builder is the wise builder practices the Word of God. He does them. But the foolish builder, he sees no need to practice the Word of God. He does not do them. We are not deterred by the storms of life, that no matter what happens to me, I am going to practice habitually, continually the Word of God. And then there's this illustration that our Lord gives. I will liken him, this is the wise builder, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house, who built his life on the rock. The foolish one, Jesus says in verse 26, he says, will I liken a foolish man who built his house on the sand? Now let's compare and contrast this wise and foolish builder. And the one thing, the only thing that they have in common is that they both built a house. Now you look at this, they had common desire. They both wanted to build a house. They both wanted to be moral and religious. They wanted something to withstand the storms of life. They both went to church. They both worshiped. Both desired fellowship with God. Both desired to go to heaven when they die. But there is a distinct difference. Although there are things in common, superficial by appearance, you look at both their houses, they can be very similar, but there is a complete distinction and difference. And that is, as our Lord says of this wise builder, he built his house on the rock. Now, what is the rock? Well, we don't have to go very far in Scripture to look for it. Remember in Matthew 16, Jesus, when he was in Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? And his disciples answered him, well, some say you're Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. But Jesus pointed and said, but who do you say that I am? And Peter, he spoke up for the 12 and he says, you are the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one. You are the Christ. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus looked at Peter and said, blessed are you, Peter, son of Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And then Jesus said, on this rock, what is that rock? Well, we certainly have to reject the Roman Catholic view, Catholicism, that says Peter's that rock, he's the Pope, and the church is built on Peter. No, we reject it in total and complete. Jesus said, upon this rock, what is the rock? It is the confession that Peter made. Who do you say that I am? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That is the foundation on this rock, on Christ Jesus. He says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11, the Apostle Paul says, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which was laid, which is Christ Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 4, here again, Paul speaking about the rock that Moses struck in the wilderness, and out came the spiritual drink. And at the end of verse 4, Paul said, this rock is Christ. Christ is the rock. So the wise builder saw the need and the necessity, the vital importance of building his house on the rock. He had a foundation. He dug a foundation. So the wise builder admits his need of Christ. And the wise builder sees that they are sinners and they need Christ. They have come to Christ. But also the wise builder knows this, that when you come to Christ and you serve Christ, you obey Christ, that it is not an easy life. It entails sacrifice. It entails hardship. It entails labor. You think of these two builders. Now, certainly the foolish builder, he built his house on the sand. So naturally, the foolish builder had his house completed long before the wise builder. The foolish builder had his house done before the wise man had his foundation dug. So that when you think about the work of a foundation, of digging down and building a foundation and laying the foundation, that it takes labor, it takes time, diligence. And it is the same way in the Christian life. If we build our house on rock, on the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ, we know this, that the Christian life is not an easy life. It entails self-sacrifice, self-denial. It means we give up some of the things maybe we want in life. We sacrifice it to Christ. That the Christian life is not an easy life. But it can become very hard and very difficult. And this is the wise builder. He is self-disciplined. He has put these words of Christ into practice, and he is going to do them. And no matter how hard and difficult it is, he is going to live his life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we look at this, and let me ask you, are you a wise builder or are you a foolish builder? Are you in for an easy religion, an easy way of following Christ, and your house, your life will never stand up to the storms of life? The winds will come, the flood and the rain is going to wash that house away that's built on the sand. You know, sometimes you can see that in hurricanes or floods. You see houses just washed away, down the river they go. See, that's what our Lord is talking about. They'll not stand. Never stand trial or difficulty. But if we're serious about our profession, if we have taken Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior, let me ask you this. Are you in for self-denial? Are you in for self-sacrifice? Are you willing to give up your life for the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, our Lord is calling here not for some pleasant and easy life. He is calling for a hard and difficult life. You look at his appeal in verse 13, enter in by the narrow gate, the straight gate. It is an interesting word, narrow. It means confined or restricted. It is a word that means conflict, pressure. This is the kind of life we live as a Christian when we enter in by the narrow gate. You look at verse 14, because narrow is the gate, and what's the next word? Difficult is the way which leads to life. You know, there's so many people who think, if I turn to God, it'll be the end of my problems, my difficulties. No. When you enter in this narrow gate, you have been forewarned by the Lord Jesus Christ. Difficult is the way. We don't look for an easy life, path of roses. No. The Christian life, following the Lord Jesus Christ, is a life of hardship and difficulty, and sorrow and grief. See, our life is like that. This what the psalmist said, that tears, sorrow may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful sermon that you gave, the Sermon on the Mount. Father, may we as Christian people be ready for the challenge to stand by our Lord Jesus Christ, who endured so much in this life. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and he endured it all for the joy that was set before him. Father, may we be soldiers of the cross, servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, at any cost, at any price. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Christian Bible Church podcast. Have questions? Visit our webpage at christianbiblechurch.us to contact us. Feel free to subscribe to receive new podcasts automatically. Until next time, thanks for listening, and may God bless you.